It is Christmas. We're almost there. It's an exciting morning. It's a good time to be here. We'd like to have a little bit of fun. So if you're excited to be here, you're excited for Christmas, make a little bit of noise this morning. Come on. Come on. Absolutely. We're going to have a lot of fun. I'm excited to get into the special Christmas message. We're really looking forward to sharing that with you in just a moment. I've got two quick things I want to share that are coming up that you might want to know about, and the one thing I want to celebrate as well. So the first thing I want you to know about is this. Next Sunday, we're starting a very special just two-week message series called Blueprint for a New Year. Maybe you have some unmet expectations from 2018. We often all do. So how do you close out a year with all those unmet expectations? We're going to talk about that next Sunday. The following Sunday, the first Sunday of the new year, we're going to talk about how do you begin a year unlike any other. And I'm really excited for that message as well. I want to invite you out, just those very short message series. Then on January 13th, we got something really special. We're going to begin a series called Selfless. The tagline is Unleash Your Inner Hero. So where are we talking about? Bringing out all of the purpose that God has put in you and using it to make a difference here in the world. I'm really excited for this. And just to start off with a bang, on January 13th, we're going to have a superhero party. Why not, right? So some of your kids' favorite superheroes are going to be in our lobby after each service, all right? So it's going to be a fun day. You definitely want to be here for that. Hey, something I want to celebrate. You might be here as a guest. You might not know about this. Let me give a little backstory. A couple Sundays ago, we received a special offering. We called our Christmas offering. And instead of Echo taking in any of that, we receive it and we give 100% of it away to local nonprofits that are making a difference. We want to come alongside them and give them a Christmas gift. And this is the second time we've done it because this is our second Christmas as a church. And last year we were, you know, just a few months into launch, and everyone gave together $1,000, which was wonderful. We thought, man, that's incredible. We were able to come alongside two organizations and help them here at Christmas time. This year, I thought, man, wouldn't it be cool if we were able to double that? It would just be awesome. It would just be, you know, generosity. We could double that. How wonderful would that be? Well, I want to share with you guys today that you collectively gave $2,565, which I thought, man, that's incredible. So way to go. Way to go with that. It's genuine. That's fantastic. And so we were able to help out four organizations. Brought along some photos here with me so you can see who we were able to help. First up, so this is the YMCA. We don't want to just be tenants. We don't want to just be renters on Sunday. We want to be partners with them as they meet and have a mission to help so many here in our community. Notably, there are thousands of kids here on the west side of Indianapolis that take part in before and after school programs that the Y puts on and different schools are across the area. They also have over 3,000 kids that show up for summer camps, and they will never, never will they ever say no to a kid. For whatever reason, if it's a financial reason they don't think they can participate, they will say, come on in, we'll figure it out. And so we get to come alongside them as they say yes to the community. So just a really cool thing that we were able to do. We helped them last year. We also helped this next group, which is Family Promise. Family Promise takes care of families here in Hendricks County that find themselves in a homeless situation, and they come alongside them and help them. So for the second year in a row, we're able to help them. I asked them for some statistics this week, and they shared this, that they had 19 families graduate out of their program this year that are no longer homeless. And I thought this was really cool. They said they helped 56 families prevent homelessness this year as well. And so we were able to come alongside them this Christmas and help them out as well. Here's two new ones we were able to help this year. The first is Sheltering Wings. Sheltering Wings, they help women and children that are in situations of domestic abuse. And so we were able to help them. We also not only gave them a check, and we were able to come alongside them with finances, but you guys gave all of that stuff as well. And so my car was loaded. I pulled up. They said, do you need a cart? And I said, I better get a cart. Bring out the cart, because you guys were just so generous. And so we came alongside them. They told me that week that we delivered all of that, that they had 14 people that had just moved in that week. And so when we showed up with supplies, they were so thankful. They shared this with me, that they have had this year 98 women and 117 children that they have provided shelter and care for. So just a wonderful organization. And then lastly, I was really excited that we got to come alongside these guys as well. The Mary Lee Mayer Community Pantry. It started here in the local Avon schools, and it's kind of grown from there. Right now, the pantry is housed at Avon Middle School South. This gentleman here is the principal at Cedar Elementary. He's one of the leaders here in the group. And I shared with him that we were coming to give them a check to walk alongside them as they take care of over 40 40 families every single week during the school year. And he said, hey, I didn't really know much about you just yet. And he said, I wanted to learn who was going to come and make a donation to us. And so he said, I did a little bit of echo stalking this week. And so I'm sitting in his office, and he's quoting back my message last week. Like, he went on and listened to the entire message. So super cool. So, guys, we were able to come alongside four organizations in big ways. Can we just celebrate that again? Come on. Wonderful. Wonderful job. Genuinely, just so proud of you, man. Just a wonderful, wonderful time that we get to do that here this Christmas. Hey, as we begin, can we pray? Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that you are such a loving and gracious God. Lord, we invite you to come in here and speak to us today. Lord, we know that you have so much to say. You are not quiet. You are not afar off. You are here, and you are close, and you speak. And so, God, even just in our own hearts today, Lord, we say, would you come and help us to hear what it is you have to say to us this Christmas season. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, as we get started, I want to invite you guys, grab out your message notes out of your worship guide. You can follow along there in the message. Kids, you've got your swag bags there with you, and you've got coloring sheets inside there. If you haven't grabbed them out, grab them out. You can kind of follow along with the Christmas story and color as we are walking along this. And all month long, we've rallied around one short verse. It's short, it's simple. But even if you're not a follower of Jesus, and if you're not a follower of Jesus, we're so glad that you're here. Genuinely, we're honored you spend your Sunday morning before Christmas with us. But even if you're not a follower of Jesus, you'd have to agree that this short, simple verse has changed all of human history. I mean, the whole reason we celebrate Christmas is because of this verse. It says this, look, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel. Now, we know his name is Jesus. It's not Emmanuel. But what they're saying here is that you're going to be thinking of him as God with us. In fact, would you say those three words with me? It means this, God with us. This side was good. This side needs you to come with me, all right? So those three words come with me, God with us. So much better. God with us. What does it mean? What does it mean that God is with us? All month long, we've been looking at how God is with us in various seasons of our lives. You can go back and find those messages on our website. But today, I want you to consider for yourself, what does this verse mean for you here today? We're not just looking back over 2,000 years ago, but for you today, what does it mean that God is with you? Have you ever noticed how we as people, we have the ability to take something that's so incredibly simple and make it so amazingly complex? Are you with me? Like we can take the simplest of things and make it really, really complex. We do this with Christmas all the time, and it's sort of getting bigger every year. Like it just started with one day, right? It was just one day, one baby, and it's grown into so much. I think it maybe sort of came into this idea of a season with the 12 days of Christmas giving. You've heard that song. I won't sing it for you now. But it's expanded into the 25 days of Christmas, right, on TV. And then if you're one of those crazy people that like those Hallmark movies, ladies, you know who you are. Some of you men, you know who you are. All right, you can celebrate Christmas all year round. Like it never has to stop. And this one simple thing has grown so big. And I think today, probably more than ever, parents feel the pressure to make every Christmas like such a big, big deal. I don't know why we do this. I remember when I was a kid, this is my old man moment here. Like we had this one night, we'd all load into the van and we'd drive around the community looking at lights. We had one night, we'd go to that one neighborhood that had the best lights and we'd pull up out front and we'd roll down the windows. You wouldn't push a button. You're rolling down the windows, right? And we listened because they'd be playing music in the front yard. We thought it was amazing, right? It was the best hour of our lives. It was a great Christmas. Well, now, or they've got like lights at the zoo, right? Like if the animals aren't enough, you need lights at the zoo. And we took our kids to lights at the zoo. And my kids like were looking over and they saw other kids with hot chocolate. And they're like, Dad, like they've got hot chocolate. Can we have hot chocolate? And I was like, no, because he's not a good dad. Like this is going to be a character building moment for you right now where you watch them eat hot chocolate. We're going to walk around and enjoy the lights. You can go and see Christmas tree lighting ceremonies, right? Which is kind of anticlimactic. Can we just kind of agree with that? Like it's just sort of like click or like they flip a switch. But because they know this, the people who organize this, they've got like a big switch. Have you seen this? Like you gotta like move the switch, but it's the lights just turn on and like woo, and then everybody goes home, right? It's really not a big deal. You can go and you can spend $100 a car to go look at lights on the racetrack. Awesome. It's fantastic. I want to see race cars at the racetrack, but you can go see lights at the racetrack. We try to find ways to make it so big, and it's become so complicated. Katie said to me the other day, she's like, I just don't feel like I'm in the Christmas spirit. I'm like, babe, we've been listening to Christmas songs since we were driving to Thanksgiving dinner. Like, maybe you're just Christmas out. You know what I'm saying? Like, we make it so complex, and it would seem like if we make the simple complicated, maybe we should make the complicated simple. But that's not really the answer either, because the more simple something becomes, it actually sort of becomes familiar and mundane to us. Like, if there's not Christmas tree lighting ceremonies, and there's not parades, and there's not, you know, fireworks going off, we're kind of unimpressed, and so we're kind of uninterested. And I want to give us a small challenge here today. Every one of us, myself at the top of the list, to go back to the beginning, to see the fantastic within this old familiar story, to grab hold of the radical nature that's within these very simple, unremarkable, maybe even mundane elements within the story. Here's the challenge. I encourage you to write this down. Don't miss the miracle amidst the familiar. Don't miss the miracle amidst the familiar. Ava, my oldest daughter, and I, we were in downtown Indianapolis just a couple weeks ago here in the holiday season, and we were sitting in a cafe, and as we were sitting in the cafe, that song we sang earlier, Joy to the World, it began to play, and it was the version we sang, which is by Hillsong Worship, which is obviously a Christian group. And we weren't in any way sitting in a Christian cafe. It was just a normal, you know, downtown cafe. And as we're sitting there and the song begins to play, I begin to think, like, this is one of the most powerful songs ever. This talks about the person who changed the world, turned the world upside down. But because it's so familiar, you know, everybody just kept drinking their coffee and eating their frozen yogurt. It was just sort of familiar and mundane. I remember several years ago when I was a postgraduate student at Duke University, and I was walking across the quad of Duke University, and I was right underneath the Duke Chapel. It's just this beautiful, majestic place, and the bells began to ring. It was Christmas season, and the bells were playing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. But if you ever read those lyrics, I mean, some of the most powerful lyrics, I mean, the truth there within has turned the world upside down, and everybody's just sort of walking, going to class, no big deal, because it's become familiar. We don't even think about the power that's within. But if we're not careful, we'll miss it. And listen, this is important. Familiar is the whole point of the story. Familiar, mundane, is the whole point of the story. God doesn't shout from the heavens for all the world to hear and to see. No, he breaks in an unassuming, unremarkable way among familiar elements so that you would forever know that he's close. So that you would forever know that he's close. Inside this old familiar story, I fully believe with my whole heart, is something that could change your life forever. In the next few minutes, I just want to point out three symbols that are inside the story you might have just sort of looked at and never paid attention to. But it's my hope that when you see how these familiar elements sort of symbolize something else, that it would not only change your Christmas this year, my prayer is it would change the way you look at Jesus forever. Let's start looking at. We know how the story begins. Mary is pregnant, but she's engaged to Joseph. Try to explain that one at the Christmas dinner, right? That's a whole different conversation. Caesar requires all the people to go to their hometowns to be registered because of taxes. And so they're traveling together. And it says this, Luke chapter 2, while they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, fancy word for a feeding box. But there was no place for them in the inn. So literally the Son of God is birthed into our world. The one who created the world, the one who created time, somehow places himself within the constraints of what we can see and within time. We don't know why, but perhaps the local innkeeper could not accommodate them. Perhaps there were other customers and clients who weren't willing to give up their space for a pregnant woman who was clearly about to give birth. We don't know how it happened, but I want to encourage you with this. Here's the first reminder. Let the manger remind you that Jesus understands your rejection. Let the manger remind you that Jesus understands your rejection. His first breath, his first moments on earth, his parents are treated like second-rate citizens. And let's talk about his parents for a moment. All right, so there's a teenage mom. There is the stepdad, right? This would be scandalous today. Young teenage mom, older, you know, guy in the picture. They give birth in the Walmart parking lot, right? Like that's how it would sort of look today. Would be scandalous, and yet this is how it happened. And when you read the story, God wants you to know that he resonates with your rejection. You're not alone. You were passed over for the promotion at work. It's another Christmas with a prospect of being alone. Maybe you're longing to be married, or maybe you're longing to have children, and you just sort of feel that rejection. On social media, it seems like everyone else is getting ahead, right? They've got great friendships. They have the perfect families. They have the perfect job. They're taking the best vacations, and you're just working mindlessly, hoping to save up enough money for Indiana Beach, right? Some of you know what I'm talking about. There's more than corn in Indiana. You don't know what I'm talking about. You need to go look that up. See, there's times I think it feels like everyone else is getting ahead and you're not moving forward fast enough. And when you engage the Christmas story this year, I want to encourage you, let the manger remind you that Jesus understands your rejection. It's what he was born into. He could have come in a palace. He could have come atop a mountain. This isn't the only way the story had to happen. It's how God chose for it to happen so you can know that he is close, so that you can know he understands your rejection, but also so that you can know that your rejection is not the end of the story. This is just the beginning of the story. God's got something far more in store for them and for us. Let's continue on. Now, there were shepherds living out in the field. Where are the shepherds living? Did you guys see it? Out in the field, out in the field. It's not a trick question. It's right there on the screen. There are shepherds nearby living out in the field, keeping guard over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were absolutely terrified. Can we just agree for a moment? That's the understatement of the century, right? Can you imagine? You're shepherds. You're the marginalized of society. You're the forgotten about. Your job is pretty mundane. It's pretty basic. It's pretty simple. Like, don't lose the sheep. That's all you do. And so you live out on the margins of society, right? I mean, their job is one step above. You stand here and make sure the paint dries, right? Like, these are not the sharpest in the community. And yet it's the place where God comes. And to say they're terrified when all heaven opens up over them is sort of like saying the Colts fans don't like Patriots fans. No. They loathe them, all right? There's different levels to this. They're terrified, yes. All right, there's kind of a bigger thing happening. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. Listen carefully. For I proclaim to you the good news that brings great joy to all the people. Today your Savior is born in the city of David. He is Christ the Lord." He is Christ the Lord. God can choose to announce his arrival any way that he wants. And this is how he chooses to do it. He could have had royal trumpets. He could have had lights coming down from heaven. He could have waited till 2018 when the technology caught up and he could have done it on Facebook Live for everybody to see. He could have announced it on CNN. It's not how he chooses to do it. He chooses this time on this night, and these forgotten about marginalized people in society. No one is even thinking about the lowly shepherds. And God comes and he opens up all of heaven over them on this hillside. Why? Here's the second reminder. Let the shepherds remind you that God is with you always. Let the shepherds remind you that God is with you always. Somebody needs to be reminded of this today. Because you're convinced that God has forgotten about you. Right? You didn't get the job that you were going for. You feel like no one even notices your efforts, your abilities, and your capacities. Or maybe you're in such a deep season of life, you feel like nobody knows how you feel. You're not sure how to hang on one more day. You wonder, does anyone see me? Does anyone believe in me? And I want you to hear today, let the shepherds remind you that God is with you always. He finds these young boys that are on their own, that everyone's forgotten about. He says, I'm going to display my glory to them. You cannot go far off. You cannot sin enough. You can't do enough wrong or right things to go outside of the vision of God. He's with you always. And maybe you're here today and you felt like God has sort of forgotten about you. I'm telling you, he hasn't. Let the shepherds remind you that he is with you always. The story goes on. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger. I love that. This will be a sign to you. There's something about this baby. Now, the baby looks familiar, right? It looks like any other baby you've ever seen. It looks like any other feeding box you've ever seen. Putting the two together is a little strange, but it doesn't seem like a big deal. Excuse me, a big deal. It is a big deal. Right? And so he's saying, let this be a sign for you. Despite the familiarity of it, right, there's something about this baby. In fact, number three, here's the final reminder. Let Jesus as a baby remind you that God only sees hope when he sees you. God only sees hope when he sees you. Come on, let's talk about babies for a minute, right? Before you have kids, all you can think about are babies. And after you've had babies, several years later, you think they're cute again, right? Like it's kind of a progress of life. We had a sweet family up here on stage just a few short weeks ago, and they had, you know, had just welcomed her into the world, and we were dedicating her to the Lord, and we were praying big and bold prayers over her. There's something about a baby that carries this hopefulness in our hearts. I remember when Katie and I were going to be parents for the first time, and we were waiting on Ava, and it felt like those 9 months just flew by. It was just a simple, easy pregnancy. That's how I would tell the story. I don't know if Katie would say it the same, but it felt like it passed by, and I think all things considered for a pregnancy, it was relatively routine. So we thought it would be a routine labor and delivery, whatever in the world that means. And the due date came, and Ava wasn't here yet. And a week passed by, and Ava wasn't here yet. And then now we're getting 11 days later, there's starting to be some action. Ava's gonna make it into the world. And what we thought was going to be a normal routine labor and delivery turned out to be anything but. And because of some complications, turned into an emergency cesarean. And we were there, and, you know, young 20s, and weren't sure what to make of all of it. We're in the operating room, and I remember the first moment I saw Ava, and I just looked at Katie, I'm like, she's so beautiful. And Katie couldn't see her at the time, and all she could do was hear her, except that she couldn't, because Katie looked at me and said, she hasn't cried yet. Didn't even think about it. And I looked back up to look at Ava and see what was going on, and the doctors had already whisked her away, and she was over on a different table, and I kind of rushed across the OR over there, and seconds seemed like minutes, and seconds on, I began to feel like years at that moment. I'm like, please clear out, you know, all of the stuff so my baby can breathe. And in time, the doctors did, and she let out this loud cry, and it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever heard, you know, at the time. And I remember holding her that day and thinking, what a miracle, right? What a miracle a baby is. What a miracle life is. I remember praying big and bold prayers and dreams over her life. And when I held her that day and every day since, I remember how big of a miracle she is. Do the same with each of my three kids. What a miracle they are. There's something about a baby that reminds us of hopefulness. I had a pastor friend years ago. He said, hey, whenever you're really frustrated with someone, like you're just ready to throw in the towel, you don't think they've got anything left in them, you're ready just to quit on them, he said, remember at one point in their lives, they were just a baby that someone was holding, and there was all this hope and promise and destiny over their lives, and see that in them. And that was a turning point for me, looking at other people. And I want you to hear today that when God looks at you, he remembers the day you were born. He remembers all the hope and the potential and the destiny that was in you. He looks at you, and then he looks at the day that his son was born and all the hope and the potential that he carried for the world. And he remembers the day that he grew into a man to walk onto a cross and take your punishment and mine for all the things we had done that displeased him, who was going off our own way. Jesus died on the cross. That baby grew to a man and died on the cross for you and for me. And he also remembers the day that he rose from the dead and forever, forever took the keys of death and hell and said, if you believe in me, you will have eternal life. You see, if you're in Jesus, you made a decision to follow Jesus. When he looks at you, all he sees is all of the hope and the potential that's still within you. He doesn't see all the faults. He doesn't see all the failures. He doesn't see all the things you think he sees. He just sees hope. And I want to encourage us this Christmas to not miss the miracle just because it's a familiar story. There's so many elements that carry so much power for each of our lives. But the manger reminds you that he understands your rejection. That the rejection you might be feeling today is not the end of the story. Would you let the shepherds remind you that whatever you might be walking through and you feel like you're alone, that he is with you always? Would you let Jesus as a baby remind you that God only sees hopefulness in you? When you make a decision to follow Jesus, that's all he can see in you, because your past has been washed away and gives you a new hope and a new future. So what do you do? How do you not miss the miracle? Miss all the parties and everything going on. All of it's great. But how do you not miss the miracle? Right? It's just simple. It's just one decision to begin following after Him. I want to encourage you, don't miss the miracle. The way you do it is this. You respond. You respond back to Him. Well, what should your response be? In just a moment, I'm going to pray for two groups of people. Maybe one of these would be you. Maybe you've been a follower of Jesus and your response today is simply, God, help me to not miss it. Help me to remember that it's all about this man named Jesus who started as a baby to remind me that there's hope still in me. Maybe you've felt outside of His sight and you just need to be reminded that His hopefulness is with you. Maybe you're here today, you're not a follower of Jesus. Again, we'd say, we're so glad you're here. But maybe your response today would begin to open your heart to Him. Maybe you're not sure about this Jesus thing, but you just simply pray something like, God, if you're really there, I want to know it. God loves that prayer. Maybe your prayer is, today is my day to begin following Him. Maybe you've come to church off and on your whole life. Maybe this is the first time you've ever been to church, or the first time in a long time. As you're reminded of the hopefulness in Jesus, you might be saying today, I want that. Because when you look at yourself, you see all your faults and your failures and your flaws. But with one simple prayer, He takes all of that upon Himself and He gives you that new life that came as He rose up from the dead. Would you pray with me? So Father, we thank You. Lord, we thank You that You are a God of hope. Lord, we thank You that You are a God of peace and joy. And Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't feel Your hopefulness, that doesn't feel Your peace, that doesn't feel Your joy, God, may that change in this moment. If you're here today, and I don't want to embarrass you, I don't want you to stand up or come to the front, but I want to give you an opportunity to respond to God. With all eyes closed, all heads bowed, if you're here today and you say, I do not want to miss the miracle this Christmas. I suspect there's probably a lot of us that would say, God, whatever it is You want to say to me, say it. God, I need Your hope. I need Your encouragement. I just need to be reminded You're close, that You haven't forgotten about me. If that's you right now, would you just raise your hand up high? I'd love to pray with you. I suspect there's a lot of us. Let's raise it up high for a moment. Put your hand down. And if that's you, not out loud, but just in your own heart, can you pray something like this? Lord, thank You that I am not beyond Your sight. I'm not beyond Your vision. You haven't forgotten about me. Maybe you're walking with some rejection today. Would you just say, God, thank You that You understand my rejection? Maybe you would say, God, thank You for the reminder that You are always with me. And you would just simply say to Him today, Lord, I don't want to miss the miracle. Amidst all the busyness, God, I want to lean into the fullness that You have for me. Still with our heads bowed for just a moment, maybe you're here today and you know that today is your day to begin a relationship with Jesus. You've waited long enough. Maybe you're 8, maybe you're 80. But today's your day to say, Jesus, I want to begin following You. I want to be forgiven of my past. I want a new hope and a new future in You. I want it to start today. Again, I'm not going to embarrass you. I don't want you to come forward. I don't want you to stand up. I just want you to simply raise your hand up. If that's you today, you want to begin a relationship with Jesus, just slip your hand up for a moment. I'd love to know I have the privilege of praying for you. Anybody else? Just raise it up high for a moment. If that's you, would you just pray this simple prayer here with me? Would you say, Father, thank You for Your love and Your grace. Say, Lord, thank You for dying on the cross to take my punishment for my sins. Lord, thank You that You wash those away in a moment with this prayer. You say, Lord, thank You for rising up from the dead to give me new life. Today, I want to live into the fullness of that new life. Would you just simply pray this? Lord, from this day forward, I want to follow You with everything I've got. Lord, we thank You. Lord, we praise You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Hey, for everybody that's taking steps forward with Jesus today, come on, let's celebrate that. Let's put our hands together for them. Come on.